body.
Right.
If you're not loving Jesus Christ,
yeah,
you're in the wrong love.
That's right.
Amen.
Yes.
We're going to read from Psalm 92 this morning. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful and thankful that you give us a desire and a knowledge, Lord, to love you and only you. Oh, Father, we thank you and ask you to walk with us and lead us and guide us into all truth and understanding. Father, if there's anything that we do that we shouldn't, God, we pray that you would forgive us and fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Father, wherever we are, whoever we are, we love everyone. And we pray that they will love us too. But God, it's not to us that they don't. Father, we just hold fast unto you. Ask you to bless all these throughout the building, basement, wherever they are. Just remember Brother Black this morning. God, and bless him with the word that we should hear for this day. And bless this scripture that we read.
Yes.
Father, that it become a part of us.
Yes.
In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise unto his name, O Most High.
Show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness.
Upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the parsley, and upon the harp, with a solemn song.
For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy word. I will triumph in the works of thy hands.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
A brutish man knoweth not, neither a fool understands.
When the wicked spring up as grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever.
But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore.
For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the works of iniquity shall be scattered.
But mine horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil.
Mine eyes also shall see my desire, O my enemies, and mine ears shall hear my desire of the wicked, they that raise up against me.
The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar in the Lebanon.
Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the court of our God.
They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing.
To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Amen.
God bless you. Be seated.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. There's not one time that I don't read a psalm that I don't feel comforted. Amen. I've been just going through the psalms more this past few months, and even going to sleep listening to them just brings peace and relaxation, knowing that, amen, no matter what's happening, he's in control. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's just sing this song just a little while, page 261, key of F, just a little while. Just a little while to stay here, saints. Amen. In reality, this is our home. But it will be restored. Amen. Praise God.
Soon this life will all be over. And the village will end. Soon we'll take our heavenly journey. Be at home again with friends. Let's stand to our feet. Heaven's gates are standing open, waiting for our entrance there. Some sweet day we're going over all the beauties there to share. Just a little while, oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Hallelujah! Oh, soon we'll see the light of morning. Then the new day will begin. Soon we'll hear the Father calling, come my children, enter in. Then we'll hear a choir of angels singing out a victory song. All our troubles will be ended, and we'll live with heaven strong. Just a little while, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in the path that's always straight. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly. Soon we'll meet again. Oh, soon we'll meet again our loved ones, and we'll take them by the hand. Soon we'll press them to our bosom over in the promised land. Hallelujah! Oh, then we'll be at home forever throughout all eternity. What a blessed, blessed morning that eternal morn will be. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little while to labor in that path that's always straight. Oh, just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portal, sweeping through the pearly. Sing that chorus one more time, just a little while. Oh, just a little while to stay here. Just a little while to wait. Just a little more to labor in that path that's on. Just a little more of troubles. Just a little more of troubles in this low and sinful state. Then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gate. Then we'll enter heaven's portals. Oh, then we'll enter heaven's portals, sweeping through the pearly gates. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Hallelujah. What a promise that we have. Amen. Troubles have beginning and they have an end. They're not eternal. Amen.
Praise God. So, but we are. Amen. Praise God. Let's just have Brother Bob come and let's sing Open the Eyes of My Heart. As Brother Bob comes, are you ready for the word? Praise the Lord. So let's sing that.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. I want to see you. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you.
Is that your desire this morning?
To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
This worship.
High and lifted up.
Our desire.
Amen.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to have Brother Wade and Brother Dale back with us. Everybody ready for the word?
Amen.
Well, let's go right into it. We're going to turn and read from John chapter 14, verses 1 to 8 this morning. And I told the brothers in the back, I don't have like a list of quotes or anything, but I'm just going to read some, really kind of read off of the sermon, things that are to be. And if they're able to follow along, then that would be great. But I'll just read some quotes and just kind of do a little teaching sermon this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we look into the Word. We thank you, God, for your presence this morning, Lord. Thank you for the songs and the psalms that were read, Lord Jesus. We thank you, God, for all that you've given to us, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God, for working things in continuity, Lord. The things that were said and the songs and the thoughts that have already been said, Lord Jesus, are right in continuity with the message this morning, Lord. Lord God, there might be troubles all around, Lord Jesus, but God, you've given us a comfort, Lord, in this hour that we can look to your word and look to you, Lord Jesus, for something that passes all understanding. Lord God, we can open up the Bible with our physical strength, Lord, but now we ask, Lord, that you'll open up our understanding, that we're able to look into the Word and perceive, Lord Jesus, what you would have us to know in this hour, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, that you'll feel welcome to move among us, Lord, this morning, Lord Jesus, and that this just won't just be like a formal service, Lord, but hearts will be yielded to you, Lord God, and you can feel a liberty to move among us, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for your grace in this hour, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll give us grace to have understanding now, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to take the title from this sermon is In My Father's House. And again, I'm preaching off of the sermon, Things That Are to Be. And so I say that because, you know, really, you know, as Brother Branham got closer and closer to the end of his ministry, seems like the things that he said began to get stranger and stranger, and almost some of the things, like in this message that you maybe read some of the quotes that almost stumbles a lot of people. And I really want to get you to encourage to go back into the message and find out, do you really understand the message? Because there's some very perplexing things, that little statements that Brother Branham says, like in this sermon and the sermon after this, Modern Events Made Clear by Prophecy, Brother Branham begins to explain how you say you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but There's something more than that. You say you got the baptism. There's a quote that Brother Branham said that you could have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. What does that mean? That's a very perplexing thing. What do those kind of statements mean? And so I want to dive into those this morning. And if you begin to wonder, what are the things that Brother Bob saying? Are they really true? Go back into this message and study it out and find out. Just really meditate on the quotes, the things that are to be. So let's read in John chapter 14 verses 1 to 8. And just to kind of set the stage now, this is the things that Jesus said to his disciples just before he died. Now Brother Branham preached this sermon and less than 20 days later, he died. Now set that as the context and this sermon, things that are to be. And Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That's a good statement in this hour. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now that little script, I love the book of John, but because this, he's got that eagle ministry, and he really says some things that really, I believe, apply to the bride now that things maybe that people have probed at for the ages, but now we can really begin to understand. And it's just the things that Jesus just said are maybe compared to the things that are in the prophet's message, because they're very strange, strangely worded. And truly, you must have a revelation of Jesus Christ to be able to understand the things that are spoken. It cannot be understood just by, you know, a lot of times you want the minister to explain it to me, just like lay it out for me. But it really, God has to speak to you to open up these things that are worded in such a way that it's hidden from the wise and the prudent. It's hidden from the people that are real careful. I don't know if I want to get mixed up in that, but if you'll do like the Bereans and get into the scripture and really study things out, it will begin to change your life. It will actually change you, and you'll begin to understand. Now, it says there in verse 3 that he left them, he was going to leave them to prepare a place so that they could be together. And if I go and prepare a place for you, Jesus said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Now that's one of the first little paradoxes in the things that I want to talk about this morning, is that Jesus is saying he's going to leave them, but the Bible says he will never leave you. He said, I'll never leave you. So he's leaving to prepare a place. And where he went and died on the cross and went through all the acts of leaving them so that he could come back and be seated on the Father's throne in your heart, in your heart, to begin to prepare a place, to begin to quicken something within you, to begin to build something within you, you see. So we want to look past the things of the flesh and the things that we can see, and look into this realm of the unseen, and hear from the voice from another world, and begin to look at something past the things that we can see with our mortal eye. You know, the first verse in this scripture that I just read, let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is telling, think about how many times Jesus told them, don't fear. The angels would say, don't fear. Let not your heart be troubled. And amidst all of the Christian journey, it looks like there's a lot of trouble. You know, if you look at like David's life, how he was hunted by Saul and how he was betrayed by his own son, there's a lot of trouble going on. And look at Joseph thrown in a pit and thrown in prison. You think now, what if you were to stop that trouble? What if you were to grab Joseph out of that pit? Then his life the purpose for his life would never been able to be manifest. What if David had never been hunted by Saul and gone through all those things that were a type of Christ? Then the purpose of his life would never be made manifest. What if Job, the story of Job, he lost his possessions, everything that he had. He lost his children. He lost everything except his wife there. And even his wife began to say, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" It looked like he just lost everything. But yet all of that trouble that he went through was there for a purpose. And a lot of times we begin to think as a Christian, as our Christian journey, that it's supposed to be a life without trouble. But God brings you through trouble to manifest himself, to get you out of the way, to build character in your life, to show forth his attributes in your life. Yeah, my wife and I were sitting there talking the other night about Naboth and his vineyard. If you think about that story of Naboth, how the king came and took away his possessions and robbed him of what God had given him and got men to lie about him and told lies, and poor old Naboth is there dying in the street and everybody's telling lies about him, but yet he had a purpose in his life to manifest. God had not forgot about him. You see, a few weeks or months or however long later, and Ahab and Jezebel are lying in the street with the dogs eating their bloods because God had not forgotten about him. And you think because you're going through troubles in life, or because you got sick, or because you're laying in your bed of pain, or something's happening in you, that God has forgotten about you. But God has. The Bible says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. So Jesus is leaving the disciples, and he tells them, don't let your heart be troubled. Now in your flesh, in your spirit, excuse me, in your flesh and in your spirit, you might be troubled, but let not your heart be troubled. And the reason your heart is not troubled, the reason a Christian's heart is not troubled, is because Jesus has given his peace to you. And what is his peace? His peace is his word. Now listen, Jesus is saying, believe me, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, he said, listen to what I'm telling you. If you listen to what I'm telling you, my words will give you peace. My words will give you a comfort that passes all understanding. You might be dealing with kidney stones. You might be dealing with kids that have gone away from the message. You might be dealing with a migraine or frailty and sickness. But down in your heart, you know, you, because you've got that peace that passes all understanding, that God is on your side. He's saying, listen to what I'm saying. You believe in God, believe also in me. And you know that can be said for any minister that's preaching the gospel. You believe in God and believe also in me. Believe what I'm telling you to be the truth. If I say the same thing that the prophet said, if I say the same thing that Jesus said, it's still the truth. It might be coming from a dumb donkey. It might be coming from a man veiled behind flesh, but it's still the truth. And that same truth will give you peace in this hour. Let not your heart be troubled. And Jesus said, Brother Branham said, he said, look, if it was so easy for those Jews who had been taught through generations to believe that there was a great supernatural God, but to think that God had come down and was manifesting himself through the person of his son, Jesus Christ, God tabernacled in a body of flesh, that was a little too much for them to understand. Now let me just get your mind aligned with what the thought of this message is to not look so much at the outward flesh, not look so much at the things that are going on that are troubling in you, in your flesh, and troubling you in the world, but look down. See, the problem that they had was they were unable to look beyond the flesh and see the God that was hiding behind the flesh. The problem that we have is so difficult to look past the veil of flesh down on the inside. That's the most important thing. That's what Brother Raymond said. The real gift of God is your soul. The real gift of God is not this thing that you're tabernacled with, not this body of flesh, but the body of the word body on the inside. Side of you that God wants to give you. See, Jesus, he said, Jesus therefore is telling his disciples that this life is not ended in death. He said, I go and prepare a place. Shows that there he was speaking to them that there was a life after this life is ended. That this life is not all there is. There's something greater than the things that you can see. There's something greater than all the pleasures of this world, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. There's something greater than anything, young people, that cigarettes and tobacco and alcohol and all this stuff could give you. There's something greater than that, and it's veiled. It can be veiled behind your flesh if you let God come in and take his abode in your heart. And Brother Branham said, as you get older, now there's so many of these quotes that stand out in this message. Now just listen to this one. He said, as you get older, that becomes more of a reality to you. As you begin to see the days of your life drawing close, then it begins to, you begin to pack up closer, getting ready for that great event. It's a continuing of this same life in another world, another place. Now, as we go through this, as we go through kind of studying this message, I want you to kind of think now that it's important to understand the context that Brother Branham was preaching this message. Because a lot of the things that he'll say about how you got another body and that you're going to, he's talking about death. Because he is going to die. And he's setting in the mind of the people, he's like, look, my body, he said in paragraph 23 of this sermon, he said, this is a funeral message. And now maybe this is my opinion, but I believe he was preaching his own funeral. That he was preaching that when you see my body laying in the grave, that's not me. There's something that more real than that body that's laying in the grave decaying. There's something more real. I have a real body somewhere that you don't see laying in that casket or laying in that grave. Something real. And so don't get confused when you begin to meditate on the things that he's saying. He's talking about in one sense that your body would be changed, but in another sense, when you die, if you were to die, then this body would be laying there in the casket, and that's not the real you. You've got a real body, something on the inside that you go to. And he said, and last night, speaking over in Yuma for the Christian businessmen, I spoke on the subject of the rapture. Now, there might have been a strange subject to speak among a banquet, but most everyone there was Christians, and that's the way it is on these campaigns like this or in church. I could say now, how many of you as Christians? Probably every hand would go up. You're a Christian, and if we're Christians, now here's the point. If we're Christians, now the title of this sermon that I'm preaching from is Things That Are to Be. If we're Christians, I think we ought to be kindly notified ahead. We don't have to just kind of guess at it. We're notified what our destination will be. When you think about what the grace God has given us to give us a message, well, we don't have to guess what's beyond the curtain of time. We don't have to guess what it will be. We don't have to guess what the future home will be. The whole plan of redemption has been laid out in front of us so that we can have full understanding. We can have understanding from the book of Genesis and before, back in the back part of God's mind, all the way to New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, all the way to the word unfolding continuously down through the endless ages. We can have an understanding of all these things, and that's why the message was given to you. So you could have an understanding of what is going on now and where you're going. That this is not all there is to it. This is not the end of it. And you see, that is what gives you peace, brothers and sisters. That is what gives you a peace that passes all understanding. Let not your heart be troubled, because God has given his word to you that brings you peace. In John chapter 14, verse 25 to 30, if you keep reading on down in that chapter, he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And see, the world wants to give you all kinds of peace that will give you just a peace that maybe for a moment you get a high when you're on drugs or something. But after you get off the drugs, then you go down into a pit of despondency and despair, and you just begin to cycle until you're getting up for work and you feel like, what am I doing here? And you get home and you get drunk on alcohol or whatever, and you go to bed and sleep and you get up and do it all over again. But that's not what God wants you to do. He wants to give the word, put the word inside of your heart to give you a peace that the world cannot give. Listen, friends, don't satisfy for a peace that the world tries to give you, that the devil can. There is no peace that the devil can give to you. The only true peace is that kind of peace that Jesus had when he was on that boat in the storm, the kind of peace that passeth all understanding, the peace of his word. He said, if you can believe me, you will have peace in your heart. If you can just believe me, you believed in God, believe also in me. Believe in me because I'm telling you the words of life. I'm preaching to you the words of eternal life. And you see, his message, this message tells us, this message, the Bible tells us that there is nothing out of cater. Brother Branham said in this message, he said, God knew you would be here. He said, your birth here was pre-planned. The infinite God knew. To be infinite, he had to know every flea that ever would be in the earth and how many times it would bat its eye. That's infinite. The infinite God, he knowed all things. Therefore, there's nothing out of cater. He knew that you would be here. He knew that you would be going through whatever trouble you're going through. He knew whatever situation you're in tonight. He knew if you were seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He knew in advance everything about you. You know, that's one of the things about this message and things that are to be, that he's trying to get you to understand that he knew what's going on in your life. He knew you. He had it all planned out so when you came here, everything would be situated so that you could manifest the word of God. He said, so you say, how do I know where I'm at? Brother Branham said, if we know the word of God, we know where we are living. If we know the word of God, we know where we're living. We know where we're living because we can look in the Bible and see that there was supposed to be a seventh church age messenger. In Malachi 4, there was supposed to be a messenger come just before the world is burnt with ashes. And we're living in that time. We can see all these scriptures that we can identify ourselves with and know the day and the hour that we're living in. Brother Branham said, we know the hour that we're living in. He said, we know what lays ahead. We see what we've passed. Think about that. The word gives you knowledge of what has passed, and you can see where you're going. Brother Bram said, his word spoken must come to pass. You know, one time the Bible says that Isaiah, and Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you see, that word spoken had to come to pass. That word spoken had to be made manifest. You see, because Jesus' birth, his life was prepared. God knew before the foundation of the world. Brother Branham said that he was, the Bible says he was crucified before the foundation of the world. All of his life was prepared. He was prepared. And so you are prepared. Now let's talk about how he was prepared. The Bible says that he would be born of a woman, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would be born of a virgin. The Bible says that he would come from the lineage of Abraham, that he would be a descendant of Isaac, he would be a descendant of Jacob, and that he would come from the tribe of Judah. The Bible says that he would be heir to King David's throne, that his throne would be an anointed and eternal. He would be called Emmanuel. The Bible says that he would spend a little time in Egypt and a massacre of children would occur at his birth. Place. The Bible says that a messenger would prepare the way for the Messiah and that he would be rejected by his own people and many, many other prophecies. The Bible, his way was prepared by the word as spoken by the prophets, and the prophets spoke it and spoke it and spoke it until finally it was manifested. And that little baby, he had that manger prepared. He had the place, the little cave where he was born. He had all of that prepared so that he could come into being and be manifest. And the same thing applies to you. He knew that you would be coming and he had it prepared for you. Brother Branham said, just like your birth here, you was prepared. He said, even things that your parents done from generation to generation, your heavenly body is prepared. Your earthly body is prepared. You see, I hope I'm not getting too deep for you this morning. But look now, Brother Branham said, he quoted this scripture in Hebrews chapter 7, as I may say so, Levi also, he receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. See, coming down, God is preparing. Brother Branham said in the serpent seed, he never said he'd done it in the shadow, he'd potentially done it. The Bible said he paid tithes. Then if we come through the right seed, when Paul preached the gospel, I was there and you were there. We're going to get into that in just a minute, plumb up to our ears. You were prepared, the whole plan and purpose of your coming. Now you think now a lot of times let me see if I can slow down to address this properly. I don't want to get so fast that you kind of lose what track of what I'm saying. Now, Levi paid tithes in Abraham. He was not born yet, but yet he paid tithes in him. Now think, spiritual genealogy speaking, that you are identified, you're part of something. You're part of something greater than just your own little life. You're part of a body. And if you're part of a body, you're part of the Word body, the body of Christ. So when he walked on the shore of Galilee, you were there because you were part of him. And when Paul preached the gospel, Paul being a part of that body, you were there. You were part of that. And that word line coming down from Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, Luther, Wesley, Branham, and you heard, one day you heard the gospel preached, and that light quickened in your life. The word quickened in your life. And you're, because you're part of something. Because you were, God knew that you would be manifested one day in this earth. And so he had it planned for you to hear the word. He had it planned for it to come down like that. Like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi. He had it planned for all the different ones to preach the gospel and hear it until finally it gets to you. It gets to you and it's pre-planned for you to be manifested. He said you were all pre-planned by God. Nothing happens by chance with God. He knows all about it. It's all pre-planned. Planned for many generations back so that you could be here tonight. Your natural body was planned. Your spiritual body was planned. It was all planned out so that you could come into manifestation. My, if that should give, what kind of peace that should give the believer that God thought of you, that he foreknew you before you even came into the earth. And your mother and father were planned by God. Your, all the way back was planned by God. He knew, so that you, he planned it all out so that you could come into manifestation. He said that, Brother Brown said, the only way that you can be a son, a daughter of God, because you have to have eternal life. There to be a son of God, you had to be in him always. The gene of your life, spiritual life tonight, was in God the Father before there was even a molecule. See? And you are nothing but the manifestation of the gene of life that was in God as a son of God. That gene of life was always in God. That gene of life always was eternal. And that gene of life now manifested in you makes you a part of something. Levi was a part of something. Levi was a part of something. That's why it says he paid tithes in the loins of Abraham, because he was part of something. And you're identified as part of something. Brother, you know, Brother Branham said, if you're an American, you're identified with America. Even all the bad things and all the good things, you're part of it. And you're part of something. You're part of this body. Now let's slow down for a second. I know sometimes when I preach, I give a lot of information. So let's slow down and digest this a little bit. Is everybody okay? I don't want to fire hose you, you know, where you can't hardly drink. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's just meditate on it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14, Paul says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now you're part of something. And how many bodies are you a part of? You're part of one body. There's one body. By one spirit, you're baptized into one body. For by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now, brother, I believe that's the scripture confirming that maybe paradoxical statement that Brother Branham would say, that God is not one like your finger. There's one body, but yet with many members. For the body is not one member, but many. So God can manifest himself in a many-membered body, but we're all part of that one body. Now, if the body is the word, this word body that we're all part of is this one theophany of God. So we're all part of one theophany. And yet we have our own word body. If you're part of that body, then you have your word body, and you're part of this one word body, this one word body that has many members. And you see, this is why when somebody gets sick, we begin to feel for that other person. That's what brotherly kindness is. Maybe you don't like the blusteriness of somebody, or you don't like some, you know, just maybe you don't have that much to talk about. Maybe somebody that doesn't like to hunt doesn't have much to talk about with somebody that hunts. But yet you're all part of that one body, and so when somebody gets sick, you begin to feel for that person because you're all one body. We're all part of one thing. We're one identity, and we're all moving together toward glory. You see, if your toenail gets, like Zoe, she broke her toenail off the other day, and we began to talk about how if your toenail gets hurt, you don't say, "Oh, well, you're not my eye." You're just a little toenail. You begin to get concerned about that little toenail. You begin to get concerned about the more uncomely parts of your body, you see. And you see, you think you just don't matter much, but yet you're part of the body, and every part of the body has a place and a part and a purpose to fulfill. And you see the purpose of understanding that gene of life that was in God before the foundation of the world, there's a purpose to that. And see, when that life becomes manifested in a tabernacle of flesh, then now that purpose is being made manifested. God has a purpose for you, and it's not just to fulfill your own lust of the flesh, but it's to fulfill that plan that God had for you before the foundation of the world. In Galatians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, it says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, because ye are sons." Now thinking along this, that before the foundation of the world, God knew you. When did you become a son? Now, we know you had to receive it down here on earth. We know there had to come a time when you opened up the door of your heart and received that eternal life. But God knew before the foundation of the world that you would receive it. And so it says, because you are sons, he knew that you would receive it. He knew that you would open the door to receive it. And so he had it predestinated for you. Wherever you are, Brother Bram said, wherever you are, God knew that you would be here, because you have to be one of his genes or his attributes. You had to be. If you've got eternal life, then it always was eternal life. And God, before there was a foundation world, knew that you would be here. And when the word or the water, the washing of the water of the word fell upon you, it was expressed in a being. Now, I don't believe that God put these things into the Bible or sent this message to us to just bore us and to cause us to slumber, but he sent these words to us to give us peace in our heart in a time of trouble, so that we don't begin to look at the things around us, so that we don't begin to look even at our own mistakes and frailties, but to look at God's word, to keep our eye on his word. And you know, if God has his way, if God put his word in you, then your purpose is to be a light to the world. He plants you in a church to be a light to the world. He plants you at your work to be a light to the world. And that is your purpose, to shine light on the others so that others may see that light and come to the light. And their eyes will be open so that they don't see the darkness. Brother Ram said, now you're expressed after his word has come in you to light up this age. Your purpose is to light up this age. He said, you are now made, you're sitting in this church tonight, because your duty is to express God to this nation and this people and this neighborhood where you associate. My goodness. To think that is your purpose, is to be a light to others. And we would be daresent to cover over that light and say, well, I don't want to sing in the church. I don't want to sing. I don't want to come and sing a special, when God has given you a gift to do that. I don't want to lead songs or whatever because I don't like doing it. I don't want to preach the gospel, because God has given you a gift and a purpose in this life. And it's not up to us to cover over that light, to put a bushel over that thing. Like Jesus said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. God has given you a gift. God has given you a measure of himself to be a witness to people, to be a help to people, to be an encouragement to people. And that's why he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Because why? We're identified in Christ. We have an identity with him. We're identified with God. Now he said, now then, if it was Jesus was the fullness of God manifested, he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Therefore, when he came to the earth and was manifested in flesh, you were here in him then because he was the Word. You were here and in then because of that scripture we just read that you're part of that body. You're part of that body. You're part of that, of the Word. And Brother Branham said, therefore, you walked with him. When you were in him, when he was on earth, you suffered with him and you died with him. You was buried with him and now you are risen with him and manifested attributes of God sitting in the heavenly places, already raised, resurrected to new life and sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I think you see that scripture that we read when I began to open the sermon, that in my Father's house are many mansions. Now that begins to mean something a little bit more, that now in my Father's house, in my Father, in this body word, there are many members. In my Father's kingdom, there are many mansions. In my Father's theophany, there are many word bodies that make up this one word body. You see, I hope we're not getting too deep here, but listen, this message is deep. God gave us a message that we're supposed to get out and swim in, not just baby around in and just kind of preach a little altar call or something. But this message is something that will bring us to a higher calling. If you'll get into it, get into the Word. Let it not bore you, but let go rise from your sleep and your slumber and get into the Word. The Spirit reveals that you are part of Him. You're part of that Word body. John chapter 14 verse 18, 20, it says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Get a little while and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and ye in me and I in you. In other words, he's put his life in you and that makes you part of the body. That makes you part of him. He is in you and you are in him. You see, why did Brother Brennan preach this message at the end of his ministry just before he went off the scene? So that your heart would not be troubled that he is going off the scene, because something is, the bride is about to catch a revelation of what this message really is. Just because he's leaving, don't let your heart be troubled. But something is going to happen. Jesus, when he preached this scripture, he said, let not your heart be troubled to his disciples as he was about to go off the scene. Just because Jesus is going off the scene, it's making a way for something greater, for the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you are part of the Word, if you are part of this word body, if you are part of Christ, then what do you live by? If you're part of the Word, then you live by the Word. Isn't that true? The Word bride must live by the Word. And Brother Brown said, now if we are those attributes of God, we cannot live by creeds. We cannot live by denominationalism. We must live by the Word, because the bride is a part of the bridegroom, like any wife is a part of her husband. Therefore, we must be that Word bride. And what is that Word bride? What is that? He's going to tell you, what is that Word bride? The manifestation of this hour. The bride. Not a creed or denomination, but a living oracle of God. Do you know what an oracle is? An oracle is where you go to hear directly from God. So the bride now is the oracle of God. If you want to know what God's will is,
then you come to where the voice is. You come to the bride. And you see, let's not get stumbled over in that. We know that Brother Branham was the voice to this age. But if you catch the revelation of what that voice said, then now you are an oracle of the living God, that you can come to a member of that body and receive directly from God. Doesn't the scripture say that ye are gods? If you have, ye are gods who the word came to, they are gods who the word come to. And if the word comes to you and you have a living revelation of the word of God, a present tense revelation of the word of God for your age, and you are saying the same thing that the prophet said, you become a living oracle of God. Now, Brother Bob, that's a little bit too deep, but yeah, your prophet said that. I'm not saying it. I'm just reading you the quote. Now see, that's where we come to a turning point. Are you willing to lay down your own creeds and your own ideas and accept what the prophet said? This is not my thought. This is not my idea. But he said the bride would be the manifestation of this hour. That's what he said. He said the bride, not a creed or a denomination. The bride will not be a manifestation of the Baptist church or the Methodist church. But he said God had to come with a message himself. And she will be the living oracle of that message. She will be a living oracle of God. An oracle is someone that is able to communicate with the deity, able to communicate with God. And he said, a living attribute of God, displaying to the world the attributes of God in the formation of the bride that's to be expressed in this hour that we're now living in. Now Martin Luther could not express the attributes that we express. Martin Luther was expressing the attributes for his day. Because that was in the beginning, Brother Brown said, the resurrection, like the corn of wheat that went into the earth. He said, now listen, he said, I don't believe that a person just happened to be here by chance. Because the reason he's saying that is because your purpose is to make manifest the word for your day. Not the word for another day, but the word for the present tense word for this day. Excuse me. And Brother Brown said, now listen, he said, you grew from your birth when you was born and presented into the world. God knew that you were going to be here in this earth, and you growed from birth to maturity. Things that seem so strange to you in your young womanhood, young boyhood, as children, now seems very real. You couldn't understand it when you was a child, but now as you become adult, you begin to understand and find out that everything was set just right. It really means something to you now. You see how your natural birth parallels your spiritual birth? When you're a little baby, you couldn't understand things, but as you grow up and just your natural life, then you begin to understand how to pay taxes and how to buy a home, and you begin to understand things that you couldn't understand as a baby. And the same thing in your spiritual birth, as you grow into your adulthood, you can look back on that time when you were at the altar and the time that you didn't understand what the message was about. And as the word began to heap upon word, and now it begins to make more sense. You look back and all those things that you probed at, they didn't make sense at first, but now they do because the pieces are beginning to come together. And Brother Branham said, so is it in your spiritual birth. You do things that you don't understand when you're a little baby. You come to the altar. You give your life to Christ. You do such strange things. You wonder why you did it. But after a while, when you mature as matured Christians, then you understand it. See? Then you understand it. He said, how it fitted to you in this life as you grew, everything fitted right in because you were made for that. Wasn't it a strange thing the night that you staggered into the mission, the tent meeting of the little church somewhere on the corner, and something the preacher preached on a certain subject, and you just fell right at the altar? See, God knew that before the foundation of the world. It seemed strange to you why you did it then, but now you understand. You knew what happened. It's so fitting to you in this life and will be also in the life that is to come. This world and its life seems to advance as you mature. Everything seems to go right with you. And you see, as you, in your spiritual birth, you begin to realize that that you were not made for this world, the carnal world I'm speaking of, all the carnality and all this, but you were made for a higher purpose. We're not believing just in a myth or a fantasy. Brother Branham said heaven is a place just as real as this is, where we don't sit up there for eternity and just sit there on a cloud. We don't just strum our harp for all from here ever, but we're going to a real place where we're going to do things, where we're going to live. Now, things that are to be. Let's set our mind on things that are to be for a second and think about where we're going. He said, we're going to work. Now, in our natural life, we work. But in this place that we're going, this spiritual place that we're being birthed into, we're going to work. We're going to enjoy. In other words, he's saying we're not just going to sit around strumming on a harp for all eternity. But see, you have a purpose. You're not just going to sit around up there like watching dandelions grow. I would like to do that for maybe 1,000 years when we get over there and just kind of watch and observe. But you have a purpose. You're not going to just spend all of your time up there just sitting around. We're going to work. We're going to enjoy. We're going to live. We're going to life, to a real eternal life. We're going to a heaven, a paradise, just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and eat and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in. We're on our road right back there again, right back. And so then that trivializes. It makes nothing all the troubles and things that we're going through, doesn't it? You have all these aches and pains in your body. I think Luis was talking about how that you start getting these aches and pains, and that certainly that's true. As I get older, you know, we were talking about I need to make an appointment to go to the doctor again, and how would I even start? It's like the older you get, the longer the list gets. What's wrong with you? Let me get off the list and just start playing the banjo because the list is so long. But you see all these troubles and things. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe God, and God believe also in me. You believe the word, and the word is what gives you peace. That this is not all there is to it. The things that you see, all these troubles and things, we're going through life to build character. We're going through life one thing that troubles do is it really solidifies your relationship with God. When you come out of trouble, then it's like you know God more than you knew him before you went into the trouble. When you go through some trouble, you begin to rely on him more, and you begin to get serious with God, and you begin to call out to him and things. And when you come out the other side, you say, I thought I loved him before, but now I know that I love him. And now I know that he loves me. And you see your troubles are working something in you, and it's squeezing out something. It's squeezing out the manifestation of God from the inside, working out. It's producing something in you, like grapes being squeezed. It squeezes out something good. Let not your heart be troubled, Jesus said. Ye believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, things that are to be, this sermon, things that are to be is about your mansion. Your mansion. And let's just, I hope y'all aren't getting tired on me. You know, a lot of times when Brother Branham, if you listen to Brother Branham, he doesn't preach real excited or anything. And it's easy to have it in the background and just kind of like maybe doze a little bit. But my goodness, there's so many nuggets and things in the message, even though he's not preaching, maybe animated or whatever. But yet, it's eternal life laying on that tape. So let these words give you peace, that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And Brother Branham said, when he began to preach on this in this sermon, he said, now, I'm not trying to change the wording of anything. Don't be stumbled over by the way that he approaches this. But he says, in my Father's house is many kinds of mansions. Many kinds. And I think this would give you peace. This will give you peace that you think a lot of times in your Christian walk, you begin to think that you're supposed to be like somebody else. Now see, we don't pattern ourselves after somebody else. We pattern ourselves after the Word. And so that's an important thing to realize, that in my Father's house are many kinds of mansions. Many kinds of mansion. Now, a mansion is, the Greek word is the way I remember it, is mon, it sounds like money, mone. The Greek word mone is where you abode. Your abode. A mansion is your abode, where you live at. So there's many kinds of mansions. And Brother Branham said, now, he said, I don't believe that when we get to heaven that we will be just, everybody look just exactly alike. If all the mansions were exactly alike, then everybody, you wouldn't be able to tell anybody apart. But there's differences. There's blonde people, there's brown people, there's black people, there's different kind of color people, different kind of hair, different kind of eye color, and different kinds of attitudes. And thank God that He made, that God loves variety, so that we can all manifest a different part of the Word, different, expressing different parts of the Word. And that's the way God wanted it. That's the way, did you know Brother Branham even said that when you came into the world, that He put mountains for you and streams, and that's why some people like to go up to Pigeon Forge for vacation, and some people like to go hunting, and some people like to go to the beach, because God said, Brother Bram said, that God made that for you. That He knew the kind of person you would be, and so when you were born here, He made those things for you to make you happy. Like my wife gets out in the backyard, and she, my wife loves birds. And she's kind of, it's kind of rubbed off on me a little bit. I start, you know, we can identify birds and things, because God made those birds for my wife and you too, if you love birds. He made the birds so that when you go outside, they sing to you and those kind of things. Now think about how gracious and loving God is, that He knew you so well, that He knew that when you got here, that you would like the mountains or the oceans or the birds or the rivers or whatever. And He said, I'm going to put this right here. I'm going to put this hunting spot for Brother Wade. I'm going to put this beach for Sister Monica. I'm going to put this over this mountain up here. That I know Brother Bob likes to go up and just sit in the mountains sometimes and go on hiking trails and things. I'm going to make this for him. And He made those things for you. Think about the love of God. And He knew He's doing the same thing for your future home. When you get over there, He's got it all situated just the way that you, He knows that you will like it. Might to think about the grace of God, that He knows you better than you know yourself. He, when you get over there, you're going to be surprised at the things that you like. Wow, I didn't know that I was going to like everything situated like this, with a little creek in my backyard or whatever it's going to be. But you see, He's building, He made you, He made your personality just to fit you. He made everything about you. He made your body to fit you. Brother Brandon said, I don't believe that when we get to heaven that we will be just, everybody look just alike. I don't believe that all will be blondes or brunettes or little or all big or all giants. I believe that God is a God of variety. He's got big mountains and little mountains. He's got plains. He's got deserts. He's got different things, because He made it the way He wanted it. And He made the seasons, summer, winter, spring, autumn. He made the seasons. It shows He's a God of variety. He made you in a variety. Now think about that. Maybe the young people sitting here tonight, I don't like the way that I look, but God made you that way. He gave you the personality, all the things about you. He made you that way. He produced you that way to manifest His attributes. He made you in a variety. He said some men are real blusterous and some men are real. Now think about that. A lot of times you think, well, I don't know if a real blusterous man has got the Holy Ghost. I don't know if I like that person. But God makes people in a variety. And one man might be real blusterous, and he said, and some are real dogmatic. How many preachers have you heard? I'm not going to call his name, but I remember the preacher that led my parents to the message. Boy, he was real dogmatic. He told my mama, he said, you got an evil spirit on you because you got them pants on. And he laid it out there true. Not caring about feelings or anything. A lot of times we think, well, we should care about feel. We don't want to hurt no feelings, but They came to the message. And he laid the word right out there and told them the truth. Some are real dogmatic. And see, sometimes you need somebody that's real dogmatic. Sometimes you need somebody that's real blusterous. Sometimes you need somebody that's a little softer. Because God is a God of variety, and he put all those gifts into the body because we're part of one body that's all working together. And he said, and others are fine, others are kind. Think about that. Some are blusterous, some are dogmatic, others are fine, others are kind. And you just find all different kinds of people in his kingdom. Now, Brother Brown said, look at St. Peter and judge him by Andrew. No, you can't do that now. Andrew was a prayer warrior, and he spent all his time in prayer, and he said he just stayed on his knees all the time. And the Apostle Peter was one of those firebrands that preached. And Paul was more scholarly like, more of the like the prophet or something, and set back. Now, I believe that's one thing that the people in the message need to understand, is that it's good to have a fiery preacher like Peter, but every once in a while you need some good teaching like Paul. Come on and lay the word down, and then like Paul said, I planted and Apollos is watered. Let the word be planted, and then let a real firebrand come through and water that on top of it. You need everything in the body. And see, we get so balanced sometimes because we want things just a particular way. There's churches in the message that they like the preaching like Peter, and there's churches in the message that they like the preaching like Paul. And different people, they like want somebody like Andrew. We need all these different gifts. We need them all. That's why we need a fivefold ministry. We need the whole, because listen, you may be able to profit more by my preaching sometimes. You may be able to profit from Brother Wade or Brother Dale's or Brother Luis's, a different time, different times in your journey. But you see, it's God has given us all different gifts, different ways of manifesting a variety so that you may be able to profit. And we need it all. Now notice many, many mansions, many kinds of mansions. The Father knew that you would be here and prepared everything for you before you got here. Your first coming here. He had it ready for you when you got here. And so he said, when you see a man here, struggling to live, somebody in a hospital, or on a sick bed, or in an accident, struggling, and the death rattle is in their throat, and pulling and crying and screaming for life. What does that mean? There's a place somewhere. There's a body that doesn't struggle and scream for that. See, it just doesn't fit. You see, that is what gives us peace. To know that when you see somebody struggling and in the hospital on a ventilator or whatever, and you see somebody get in an accident or whatever, and they got their body might be all tore up, broke legs and things, or maybe not, just sitting in church dealing with kidney stones and troubles in their life, but yet there's something, your body is pulling and crying and screaming for something else. It's thirsting for a land beyond the river. There's a place somewhere, there's a body that doesn't struggle and scream for that. Now, y'all doing okay? The clock's circling around. See, I want to get to some of these things because there's some deep things in this message that are kind of, can be a little bit confusing. Brother Branham, in this message, things that are to be. Now go back and read this message and study it and meditate on it. I want to encourage you. He's talking about bodies, and it seems a little bit, we believe that this body will be redeemed. But he begins to talk maybe in a confusing way that this body is going to come to an end, and this body is going to, he's talking about the body going into the grave and you go to another body, it sounds like. And that begins to, you pray for a revelation of what he's talking about, because he's speaking of, in my Father's house are many mansions, and your mansion is an abode. And we talked about how that you are in one body, you're part of one body, part of one word, theophany body. But yet there's something down on the inside that's the real you. This is not your real body. Your real body is on the inside. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 1-4. And Paul says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, if this body were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In other words, you got a mansion
We have a building of God, not a body that was produced by a product of sexual desire, of carnality, of sin. But you have a building that God made. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. In other words, earnestly desiring for the, all of this to be consumed by that house that's on the inside. To be clothed on so that we don't have to deal with this anymore. So that we don't have to deal with this trouble. We don't have to deal with all the temptations of life and all these things. We're groaning to be clothed upon. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. You see, that's what we're groaning for, that we're in this tabernacle, in this body of carnality, and we're groaning within ourselves. Do you realize that's why you come to church? Because you're groaning for this to be swallowed up of life. You're something inside of you is groaning because you're part of the Word, and because you're part of the Word, you feast on the Word. You desire the Word, and that's why you desire to come to church. That's why it's such a groaning thing to be quarantined at home and to be away from people, because there's something on the inside that's groaning for life. For all of this to be swallowed up. Brother Brown said, we are now in Christ Jesus, babes in Christ, children of God, waiting for the full deliverance at the coming of our Lord Jesus to receive us up unto himself, when the body, this mortal, will take on immortality. Now he says, and now when this body is dropped here in this earth, like the baby is dropped, also, there is an immortal body waiting to receive the spirit back into itself again. Now think about, oh my, so many deep things to really meditate on. When this body is dropped here in this earth, when you come into the earth, then the little soul enters into that body. And when this drops, you have somewhere to go. There's a body there that you step into. Or step, see, to frame that right, that's very difficult to walk that tight line. There's a body on the inside of you that God is building, a mansion of God, a theophany word body. And when this body drops, so you just go right into that. Brother Brown said, just as the body gives you here, just as this body he gave you to live in, only expresses that there is one that is greater yet to come, a body that yet to come that you cannot see now. You cannot see, but it's one day it will be revealed. Now see, God is looking at your future. He's looking. He's already in your future. He's already looking at the things that are to be. He knows where you're going to. See, now I've got the problem of trying to wind up here. I'm running out. I could preach for another 2 hours. I know that puts a little bit of panic in some people's heart, but I'm going to find a place to close up here. So I don't want to keep you. I know how it is. And he said, he already sees you there. Nothing can separate you from his love. Not all these trials and all these tribulations, nothing, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now let me read another scripture here, and I'll see if I can and wind it down. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 to 38, Paul's talking about how some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And he says, I wonder how we would react if a minister were to talk to us like this. Thou fool. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. In other words, he's saying if you go out and you try to plant a wheat plant, the body of the plant in the ground, that doesn't even make any sense.
You plant the seed, and then from that seed comes forth the body. You plant the seed in the ground, and the body comes up. But God, and that which thou sowest not, that thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him. And to every seed, his own body. So the seed is what produces the body. The seed of a plant will produce the wheat plant. Of a wheat plant will produce the wheat. The seed, the acorn, will produce an oak tree. And if you plant the seed, the word of God in your heart, it will produce a word body on the inside. God giveth it a body as it has pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now your carnal natural body was produced by that seed, the wrong seed, hybrid seed. But the word body, it was produced by an incorruptible seed. Let's go on to read. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption because you come from Adam and Eve's transgression. You are sown. You came from your mama and daddy, and it is raised in incorruption. Now, what could be more incorruptible than the pure gospel preached? What could be more incorruptible than, let's put it like this, the end time message that you are sown, your natural body is sown in corruption. But this body on the inside is sown by you receiving the word for your day. And the word for your day is actually what produces this mansion. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It's sown in weakness and tribulation and trouble and all the things that David and Joseph and all the things that we go through in life. But it is raised in power. Amen. What kind of power? The gospel power. A gospel life. The light of this end time message. Listen, there is power in this word to transform you and make you act different than the way that the world acts. That's the kind of power that is brought by the incorruptible seed word of God. And he says in verse 44, it is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Because the word seed is what produces a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And in verse 49, he says, as we have borne the image of the earthy in this natural body, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Y'all doing all right for a few more minutes? I hear a lot of amens and I see a lot of sleepy eyes. So. We don't have an afternoon service, so I just go for a little bit longer. Now, Brother Rem, see, we're going from an earthly tabernacle, from an earthly body. And listen, if all this is a little bit too much or whatever, I encourage you again, go back and listen to Things That Are To Be. Things That Are To Be is such a profound, wonderful message. And just go, just put that tape on and listen to it. He says, this body, this earthly carnal tabernacle has lust and sickness and death. But we're going, he said, oh, but the other one is called my Father's house. He's gone to prepare a place, a perfect place where no evil exists, no sickness exists, no old age exists, no death exists. It's a perfect place calling you to that perfection, and you have to be perfect to get there. And that's what stumbles a lot of people. I've heard so many young people and different ones say, how can I be perfect? I can never come to perfection in this life, because you're looking at it as though you've got to in your own, by your own actions and things, you've got to come to this place of where you don't never trip and fall, and you don't never, you know, do anything, or you don't ever think any kind of bad thought about somebody. Your perfection, your righteousness, is a product of what God did for you on the cross. He died for you on the cross so that he's not looking at you even anymore. He's looking at what he did. And so you're covered over by the shed blood. We were talking about, you remember Brother Brown used to talk about Pat Tyler, used to be the old mobster and lived a life of sin. And I'm pretty sure he even killed people when he was in the mob and everything. And a brother told me one time, he said that Pat Tyler would polish his hand with baby oil until he could hide a pair of dice in his hand. And he would come up to you and toss out two pair of dice that were red. And he would say, "Once my sins were scarlet." And he would take those dice back into his hand where he had polished them into the hollow of his hand. And he would throw out another pair that he had hidden in there that were white. And he said, "But now they are white as snow." And you think about what God can do to an old mobster like that, that turns somebody and just transform their life around. Because that's a product of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That when the blood is applied to your life, He transforms you and changes you. And that is what makes you perfect. How could a murderer, somebody that's lived a life of sin, how could you be made perfect? Well, all the things that we've done, if we go back in all of our lives and look at all the transgressions, but it's what He has done, not what we have done. He's the one that's covered us over by His blood. And He's the one that he's looking at that blood atonement. He's not even looking at you. All he can hear is your voice crying back to him, "Father, forgive me. Father, forgive those that wrong me." He hears your voice and he's not even looking at the things that you've done. Yeah, we were talking about how, you know, the Bible says righteous Lot, but look at all the nonsense that Lot pulled. Throwing his own daughters out there and said they never lived with any man. And look at Abraham, the righteous Abraham, whose righteousness, his faith was counted for righteousness, but yet he tried to give his wife away to the king twice. And all these things. And you see, because God is looking, he's looking at your faith in what he has already done. Don't get tripped up on what you've done. If you've done something wrong, if you've made a mistake, then just ask God to forgive you and trust that he's looking at what you look at what he's done, because that's what he's looking at. And Brother Bram said, they see, there's the Father's house that he's gone to prepare. This one come by sex and from the fall and must fall with the fall. No matter how much you patch the old thing up, she's going to fall anyhow. She's done because she's doomed because God said so. She is finished. God is going to destroy it. He said so. There'll be a renovation of the whole thing. You believe that? Now that sounds like he's saying that God is going to destroy this flesh. And that's where all these doctrines come about. We're going to walk out on the ashes of our body and all these kind of things. But see, in this message, if you just pay attention, just read a little bit further. He flips to talking about that, to talking about the future home, about how your soul was cleansed by the Holy Ghost and fire, how you went from a process of justification, sanctification, to baptism in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost and fire burned out all the uncleanness in your heart and transformed it. And now you're going through a higher form of that. Justification is a statue of a perfect man. Baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire, the true token in your life. And that Holy Ghost and fire cleanses you out, cleanses your spirit out. And then you go through it again to cleanse your body out, to transform your body, not to give you a new body, but to take that body and transform it by the Holy Ghost and fire. And you see, he's saying this body's got to be demolished. Was your soul demolished? Was this earth demolished? Will this earth be demolished when the fire comes and cleanses it off? It'll be a new heaven and a new earth, but it'll be because it's been cleansed by the Holy Ghost and fire. Just the way that your soul was cleansed, just the way that your body would be cleansed by the Holy Ghost and fire coming and cleaning it off. And he said, oh my. He's talking about, see, there's a birth taking place to birth us into that other world, to birth us into a place. And if you're hungry, your Father will feed you. He gave us His Word so that He could be with us. And He said, therefore, if you've tonight, just come say, I offer Jesus Christ my life. Let's go ahead and close on this. I've kept you for a little bit, a while. So I'm going to go ahead and close on this. He said, the musicians can go ahead and come. He said, therefore, if you've tonight, just come say, I offer Jesus Christ my life and you never received the Holy Ghost. Come into it. You must do it. You must grow into it. Ask God to pile word on top of word like that until you become the full stature of a son of God or a daughter of God.
the full stature. He gave us His Word so that He could be with us. And my, there's so many other wonderful things. I fear today that there are many people that are sitting in message churches that don't get in to find those little nuggets that are in these messages. If you would sit down and just pay attention to the things that Brother Branham is saying, listen to this message and modern events made clear by prophecy, and you'll have an understanding of what the baptism of the Holy Ghost does. That you grow into the Word. That the Word is actually being birthed into you as you receive the Word. That as you feed, you are becoming the Word. And that is what gives you a home to live in when you go to the other side. If you don't open the door of your heart and receive that Word, then you don't have a mansion to go to when this body dissolves and goes away. And so that's why we come to church. That's why we listen to the tapes. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And He didn't go somewhere off far away. He didn't go on the other side of the galaxy. Oh, some moon way off, way out on another planet. But He went so that He could come and tabernacle Himself in you, so that when you bring the Word to Him, He quickens it and brings it to life. He's gone to prepare a place for us, but not gone. He's here. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and just praise the Lord and worship Him.
Let's sing page 244, Heaven's Jubilee.
Give F.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me. Joy is ours to share.
Looking for that day.
What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee yonder in the skies. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory.
Hallelujah. You sent your peace to us, Lord God. You sent your peace that passes all understanding, Lord, to this being of our sister. Lord, we've put our faith in your Word, Lord, and trusted in your Word to bring it to pass, Lord God, healing of our body, Lord. And we join our faith together, believe the Lord, that you believe that it's just a hint
in the twinkling of an eye, change with them to be. All the living saints to fly to that jubilee. Oh, what singing,
oh, what shouting
on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the skies. When with all the heavenly host we begin to sing, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, change with them will be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee.
In this situation, Lord Jesus, Lord God, Lord, you know every trouble, every trial that they'll be, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you remember these children, Lord Jesus. And I'm going to do a favor, Lord God, and you can patch up the broken, Lord Jesus. You can fix the things that we make wrong, Lord God. The things that we messed up, Lord Jesus. You're the fixer upper, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, that you'll move on this scene, Lord Jesus, and just patch everything back up, Lord God. Brandon, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with this family, Lord. We pray in your name.
Coming
Amen.
After you and me, joy is ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise. Headed for that jubilee, yonder in the sky.
Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall
rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Sings that now I almost see all the sainted dead, rise and bore that jubilee.
Lord, like Solomon has said, we don't know how to go in or come out, Lord God. But Lord, you can give wisdom, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll be with my brother, Lord Jesus, in this situation and give him what he asks of God. He's not asking for anything contrary to your word, Lord Jesus. He's not for anything for himself, Lord, but he's asking for wisdom and guidance in this situation, Lord Jesus. And your word says, if you need wisdom, Lord, ask for it, Lord God. And we come asking, Lord Jesus. Thank you. We pray, God, that you'll give my brother as he asks, Lord Jesus. Believing and trusting that your spirit of truth will lead and guide into all truth, Lord Jesus. God, my brother, I pray, Lord God. We ask this believing in your name, Lord Jesus.
With all that heavenly host we begin to see, singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee.
Bob Adam, oh,
what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory.
We know, Lord God, that you hear and answer prayer, Lord. You haven't left us, Lord. You're with us, Lord Jesus. And I pray, God, that you'll move upon the scene for our brother in this place of faith. Lord, all these believers around the world are joining our faith together, Lord Jesus. And we're standing and interceding for him, Lord God. Ask, Lord God, that you'll move upon the scene for him, Lord Jesus, as a form of miracle. Pray, Lord God, we believe, Lord Jesus. Let your word come to pass, Lord Jesus, now. We ask it in your name. Amen.
We all shall rise, oh, one story. Hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting on that happy morn.
Listen, we've had several come up and stand for Brother Ray, and I know he's burdening all of our hearts. So why don't we just go to the Lord in special prayer for him now at this time? Because he's going through a really tough situation. And you know what I was speaking on is we're all part of one body, and when one member of the body, even if they don't go to this church or somebody on the other side of the world, they're part of this body, and that burdens us and grieves us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now for this situation. Lord God, we're burdened for our brother, Lord Jesus, and we're grieved, Lord God. We don't want to see anybody suffer the way he's doing, Lord Jesus. And we know, Lord God, that you sent your word to give us peace, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said, Lord God, if any two or three would join together and agreeing, Lord, that it would be done, Lord God. And your bride around the world is joining together, many people around the world joining together, looking at this situation and faith, believing, Lord God, that you'll come upon the scene and deliver our brother, Lord Jesus. And we ask, believing, Lord God, as we join our faith, Lord Jesus, together, looking at your word, Lord, not at circumstances, not at the things that are happening in the life, Lord Jesus, not at what the doctors say, Lord Jesus, but we're looking past that, Lord, to the things that only our spiritual eye can behold, Lord Jesus. We're trusting in your word, Lord God, that you'll bring our brother out, Lord Jesus. We're believing by faith, Lord God, and we ask, Lord, now that you'll come upon the scene for our brother in a special way and fight his battles, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've always been the one to fight our battles. You fought the Israelites' battles, Lord God. You fought the believers' battles. You fought the disciples' battles, Lord God. And now we know that you're still a present help in time of trouble to fight our battles, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you'll send your angel of deliverance and mercy, Lord, to our brother now in this time of need. Lord, bring healing to him, Lord. We ask and pray. We believe it, Lord God. We're praying because we believe it, Lord Jesus. We believe your word, Lord God, and we're joining together because we are believers, Lord Jesus. When the bad times come, Lord God, we still believe. Yes. Lord, when the good times come, we believe. Amen. Lord Jesus, now, Lord, in tribulation and heartache, Lord God, looking up, not at the circumstance, but looking, Lord Jesus, with faith, we believe, Lord God, that you're still the same, Lord. We ask, Lord, these things, believing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you'll minister your word to our brother. Amen. See, that's what gives peace, Lord. When you can look past the circumstance and look to a God that passes all the circumstances, passes all the things that we can understand with our carnal mind, we have confidence in a living God. Let's sing another song of worship.
Let's just sing There Will Be Peace in the Valley.
You love the Lord tonight?
Amen.
Isn't God good to us?
Amen.
Let's just worship Him now. The word is going forth now.
Right.
Now we've got something to worship about.
Glory.
I'm so weary, but I must go along till the Lord comes and calls me. Is bright and the Lamb is the light and the night is fair as the day. Oh yes, there will be peace in the valley
for me. Lord God, as you come up on the scene, Lord Jesus,
there will be
Lord, no situation is too hard for you, Lord God. I pray, Lord, that you'll, Lord, hear those requests, Lord, for this salvation, Lord God. Lord, for this problem in his body, Lord God. You know all things, Lord Jesus. Lord, we've got the antidote, Lord God. We've got the vaccine, Lord Jesus, in your word, Lord. And we stand with our brother believing in your word. That you'll come upon the scene, Lord God, according to our brother's faith, Lord. We believe, we join our faith together, believing that you'll, Lord, move upon this situation, Lord God, and minister, Lord Jesus. We pray, believing, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
There the flowers will be blooming and the grass will be green and the skies will be clear and
Jesus
serene.
Is in the house right now. Whatever you need, just believe.
Oh, yes. Well, the
just
sun
trust in Him and look to Him, not your circumstances, but look to the God that's here to heal all your diseases. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities.
There will
That should give peace into the heart of any believer. To know that we have that kind of benefit. It's time to claim our benefits, believers.
For me, there will be peace in the valley. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no troubles I'll see. There will be peace, peace in the valley.
Yes, Lord Jesus, we have a promise, Lord, as they took the cross in the body of Paul, Lord, as your spirit went with them, Lord God. Lord, wherever these cross go, Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you'll increase the believer's faith, Lord Jesus. Lord, if we will manifest your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, you're still the same just the day, today as you were in the day of Paul, Lord God. And I pray, Lord, in these prayer cross, Lord, but Lord Jesus, accomplish your purpose, Lord Jesus, that your spirit will go with them, Lord. Lord, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant my brother's request, Lord Jesus, that you'll help him, Lord, and be with my brother and cause him to prosper and strengthen him, Lord Jesus. We ask these things believing in your word, Lord God, that you'll bring it to pass in your name. Amen.
And I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes. Oh, there will be peace in the valley for me. One day there will be peace. Sadness, no sorrow, no trouble. see,
for there will be peace
in the valley for me.
Amen. Even if you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He'll be with you. We've got that kind of peace, don't we? His word is what gives you peace. So get into the word if you want peace. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Anything?
Let's give our brother a good hand. Thank you. What a marvelous job. Tell him how much you appreciate it, because we do. Amen. I want to thank everybody for all of the cards, the gifts, and the different things that was given there the other day for pastor appreciation. And as the main thing is, I appreciate you, because you're the light of all of everything. You're the main thing, and we're just part of it, just backing it up. I appreciate that. All right? So remember that. The Lord willing, now we'll just make our announcements kind of now as we're going. But Lord willing, Wade will be ministering this coming Tuesday, remember? No service Wednesday because of the Thanksgiving. So you get to have a good time with your family. So we'll have it with Tuesday night services, you know. And I'll be ministering the Lord willing on the Sunday service. And then we'll announce from there on down on what to do. Yeah.
Baptismal service.
Yeah, we got a baptismal service coming up this coming Sunday. So remember that. We'll get everything ready and do all of those things, okay? Anything else?
The next Tuesday
we'll be having, you know, we're taking a little time going hunting and back, but we're not missing services. We're in church, but we'll be with, now not this coming Tuesday, Wade will be doing it, and then I'll do Sunday, then he'll do Tuesday, and then we'll get back kind of into some rotation as we're going along the line, okay? All right? So everybody remember that. So it'll be this coming Tuesday service. Then it'll be the next Tuesday will be service. Then we'll fall back to our Wednesday time. Okay? Everybody understand? Okay, let's just pray and just tell Brother Bob how much you appreciate. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the message we've heard this morning. We believe it. We believe our brother believes it because he's, Lord, bringing it forth from his heart. And we ask you to just be with each and every one of us as we go on our way home, that you'd give unto us your grace and love and to the protection of traveling as we go about our doing, Lord. Guide each one now. Forgive our sins. And Father, we believe that you're going to reach down and touch Brother Ray. We're expecting to hear a testimony from all of these things because you've done it before and you've done it for me, Lord. So what would it be any specialty for me over him, Lord. So you just reach down and touch our brother and let everything be all right. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Well, the bear will be gentle.